How do you support your grown children without controlling them? How do adult children set boundaries without hurting their parents? Whether it's advice that wasn't asked for, disagreements about life choices, finances, or grandchildren, these relationships can get complicated. Today, we're opening up an honest conversation about navigating love, independence, expectations, and respect between parents and their adult children. Hi, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. Today, I'm joined by author, speaker, and family relationship expert, Dr. Kathy Cook. She's here to talk about her latest book, Resolve Conflict and Find Peace and Hope with Adult Children. Welcome, Kathy.
Thank you so much for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Kathy, you've spent decades working with parents and working with families. What patterns have you seen today between parents and their adult children that you said, yep, I need to write a book about that?
A lot of disagreement, some dysfunction, certainly the estrangement issue, and I imagine some of our listeners today are not in contact with their adult children for a variety of reasons. So I wrote the book partly for that. Really preventative. I'm hoping that parents of younger children will even read it to understand that they could be making changes now in hopes that when their children do launch, they will launch well but stay connected to them, you know, for the rest of their life. That's what's supposed to happen. God ordained the family forever, doesn't want it to be separated. So those would be some of the reasons.
Now, what do adult children actually need from their parents? Because, you know, as parents, we've raised them, right? We think we know everything that they need in adulthood.
Right.
What do they actually need?
As they mature and as they're ready to launch, they need our confidence. Like, they need us to believe that we've done our job well and that they are ready for the next phase of life. If we continually treat them like we didn't do a good job and that they're immature and, you know, clueless and foolish, they're going to really resent that. They're not going to want us to call. They're not going to want us to step over. So we need to know that we've done the best that we knew how to do when we did it, and that we've you know, that our kids are going to be able to launch well, that they are going to find their success, that they're going to find their footing, that they're not going to be, you know, in a terrible place their whole lives, if you will. I think that's super important. They do need us to back off. They need us to be aware of their business, but not in their business. Because we're not in control anymore. I'm not sure we ever were, you know, to be honest with you. But as they become adults, you know, they don't want to be parented anymore. We can't parent them.
Yeah.
We can guide, correct, support, coach, cheer, influence, help, but we can't parent them. They think we're done with that phase, even if we think there's more that we could do.
So how do parents tell the difference between healthy boundaries and emotional distancing?
It's a good question. You know, do we think of them constantly? Do we need to know all of their everything? Like, who did they have dinner with last night? How did that appointment at work go? Have they found a new restaurant yet that they like? If we're curious about everything and demanding that they tell us everything, that's unhealthy. They do need to have some independence from us, and that's how we demonstrate, you know, confidence. Support would be, you know, being available to talk with them when they ask us for information. I say very quickly in the book that unsolicited advice always comes across as criticism. So we need to be really careful. We might have insight, but they might not be ready to hear it, and so it's not going to be helpful. Wait for them to ask. Wait for them to be curious and humble, and then communicate what you think you have that's going to be a blessing to them.
So the question is how to wait for them to come to you. What do you do in that waiting? I know in your book you offer some how to say it scripts that work. Can you share with us some of those?
I talk about, we create a story in our head. We believe this story that may not be true. So let's say that our son says no to three invitations. We invite him over three times for dinner. He says no three times. So we're telling us a story, and the story is that he doesn't care at all about us, that he prioritizes everybody but us. That's the story we're telling ourselves. So we call and we text, we invite him for another time, and he rejects us again. And then we say, either in a text or on the phone, the story I'm telling myself is that you have time for everybody but us. Is that true? And your son says, no, not at all. I'm just very busy. Well, then we say, what day next week? Like, I'm really open in my calendar. What day would work? We'd miss you. We'd love to get together. We'll come to your side of town. What day would work? Oh, next week doesn't work. Well, see, the story that I'm telling myself is that you make time for everyone but us. No, Mom, I have time. Well, when could we get together? So you push back a little bit on that, but it's often the story we tell ourselves, which is a lie, that is the pain, not the reality that we're living in. And people, if they read the book, you'll be able to unpack that, I think, really well, but I think the story we tell ourselves is something to really consider. I also think that we need to use a lot of I language. Like, I am disappointed when you tell me you'll follow through with me, but I don't hear from you. You language is pointed and accusatory, and we rise up against that. Even we do. So think about I language. Sonia, our listeners have a right to their feelings, but we don't want to be controlled by those. I statements are powerful. Yeah, that's how we wait.
Right, much better than you. You didn't. Mm-hmm. You said you. Yeah, so right. Earlier you mentioned something about adult children even distancing themselves from their parents. And I'm seeing this a lot. Almost seems to be a trend where young adults are deciding that they want no contact with their parents. How do parents navigate that?
Very carefully, through prayer and by grieving. So it is a trend. It's very disappointing. There are reasons, but I don't spend a lot of time in the book with the cause because I think the solution is much more important. I think we pray expectantly. I think we put our hope in God, not in our children. We don't hope in ourselves. We hope in God. He is worthy of our hope. And we pray to Him, and we pray that our children would be surrounded by truth, that they would reject the lies and the liar, that if they recognize that they're listening to people who have persuaded them to believe a lie, that they would choose to distance themselves from those people. We pray that they would develop humility and be willing to reach out and even apologize for the choice to separate. We read the Word expecting to hear something from God that's going to comfort us. We make sure we don't isolate. If you are listening and you have been rejected by your adult children, please remember you're more than a parent of an adult child. If you're married, celebrate and invest in your marriage. Your daughters and sons, and perhaps your sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles, and you're still a child yourself, and you're a co-worker and a volunteer and a member of a church choir, just know all that you are. And I know that those things pale in comparison to the dream that you had, that you would be friends now with your adult children, and they've walked away. It's a very hard season, so grieve it. Feel the sadness, but don't live there. Don't let the past define you. Don't let this one relationship define you. You're more than that. And reach out and discover that. That's part of my advice. It is a hard season.
Kathy, where can, because we really could go on for quite a bit of time with this conversation, where can people learn more about your work and the book?
I appreciate you asking. My ministry is called Celebrate Kids. And so at celebratekids.com, you can find all 9 of my books, including this one, all of our podcasts. We podcast 6 times a week. And we're also on Instagram and Facebook at Celebrate Kids, Inc. And we would love your listeners to follow along. We do some live presentations about the book that they could join us for and just kind of hang out. We would be honored if they would choose to be influenced by who we are and what we're doing.
Well, again, I want to thank my guest, author, speaker, and family relationship expert, Dr. Kathy Cook, for sharing some insight and encouragement from her latest book, Resolve Conflict and Find Peace and Hope with Adult Children. And again, you can learn more about Kathy Cook's work and ministry through CelebrateKids.com. Kathy, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity.
This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackays Road. That's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.